Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
This is Talk of the Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. I'm Ian Irving and we're joined by Laurie Whitwell and Andy Mitten, cuddling up closely in an empty Allianz Arena. We're recording just an hour or so after that weird 4-3 defeat for Manchester United against Bayern Munich. Of course, we'll get into that result, but it's also been a busy day for Mr. Mitten as he released the first proper interview with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer since he left the club. We'll talk about his views on everything from Ronaldo to the Glazers. Plus, we'll sneak in a preview to Saturday as Burnley welcome the mighty Manchester United. Although, Laurie, they didn't feel very mighty tonight, did they?
No. It started quite promisingly, at least. First 20 minutes, I mean, it sounds like a recurring theme after the Brighton game as well. And then Andre Onana's mistake, I think, changed the dynamic totally. I mean, maybe Bayern Munich would ultimately have found their groove in the game, but that really did flick a switch. Onana's reaction to that was quite profound. In the stadium, you could see him, how long it took him to kind of get his mind, it seemed, back on the game. He took an awfully long time in different poses, kind of whilst he reflected on that mistake. And then by the time perhaps he had managed a little bit to put it to the back of his mind, Bayern scored a second. I mean, that's again another theme of this team, that they concede quickly one after the other. It seems to go from kind of an even keel to a downward spiral very rapidly.
Well, you say this team, I mean, there's so many different players, and yet that is a recurring theme, isn't it, season after season as well. It seems to be something that's running through Manchester United's performances, no matter what.
I do feel like, in particular this one though, as well, you look at the Liverpool game, the Arsenal games that they've had, where it's just been bang, bang. And even, you know, the glimmers of hope that they had tonight, you know, at 3-2 and 2-1 and 3-2, and the Bayern go and score, you know, straight away. It just sort of felt like Bayern could have really put their foot down in the second half if they wanted to. I mean, Onana, to be fair to him, you know, came out second half and pulled off some decent saves. But Bayern had more opportunities to really stretch the lead, and they kind of were in a cruise control almost. And if they'd needed to, I think they would have scored more. So I think that's why you're right to say the 4-3 felt, you know, kind on United.
Yeah, it was about as far away from a 4-3 game, Andy, as I've seen, to be honest. I mean, obviously, you know, it is 4-3. You can't deny that that's the scoreline. But when United were sort of drifting at 3-1 in the second half, that felt a little bit more like a fair reflection. What was wrong tonight again, do you think?
I thought United started well again. I was really encouraged. I thought Sergio Reguilón was very impressive. I thought Diogo Dalot played well again. I can pick out some negatives. I'm sure we'll do that further into the podcast individually. But as soon as United went behind and then conceded a second goal a couple of minutes later, it seemed to me, once again, it's about moments. Manchester United keep getting caught out in moments, keep conceding goals, don't score enough goals. So it's all right us pulling strands of positivity out. Rasmus Højlund got his first goal. Casemiro, who didn't play well at all, but still scored two goals. You look at the scoreline and think, well, it's only 4-3, but it never felt like only being 4-3.
No.
It felt that Bayern Munich, with Jamil Musiala, was just a level above everybody else on the pitch. I thought that Facundo Palestra did okay against Alphonso Davies. I know that Davies was the Bayern player who United had identified as the greatest threat, and the player who they felt would be strong, would be fast, is one of the best fullbacks in the world. So when United started well, I was thinking what I was thinking at Tottenham away and at Arsenal away and at Brighton at home. Okay, this is getting better. But once again, United not only lose but concede a lot of goals, and just been in the mix zone now, watching the players come through. Everyone's despondent again, and it's starting to stack up a bit now. It's three straight defeats that, and this was always going to be the most difficult game in the Champions League group stage. It's almost like a free hit, and United need to be not losing in Turkey, in Copenhagen, winning the home games. So I'm not that concerned about the result, but just watching the team lose again, it just adds to more deflation. We keep discussing this on the podcast. It was a beautiful day here. It's a wonderful city. It's still really hot. The atmosphere was good before the game. 3,000 away fans. The Oktoberfest is on as well. I got served an absolutely atrocious beer, which was three quarters froth. So I didn't drink any of that.
You got a stein? You'll be proud of me. I got a stein, you know. Last night, Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Me and Mark Critchley, to listeners that might know him. We sampled the local. You know, when it's on, you've got to go, haven't you? So
yeah.
You got a sign you weren't a fan of it, Andy?
I got it. And I mean, I like beer. I mean, we've discussed that
obviously,
before.
Obviously, that is your forte. I mean,
but it was
just
like
beer, though. Nothing fancy, yeah.
No
beer.
Frothy.
It was like 20% beer with 80% froth. And I said to the guy who actually owned the place, "You're having a laugh." And he said, "No, this is how we do it. We're proud to do it like this." I'm thinking,
rip people
if
off.
If you went to Burnley on Saturday and asked for the same thing,
they give you a Benny and
get
hot.
A very different reaction. Yeah.
they don't serve pints of beer there. It's just Benny and hot, as we'll get onto, I'm sure. I mean, you're right. It is stacking up a little bit. You know, Manchester United conceded 4 tonight. That means they've got a record of conceding 14 goals in the first 6 games. That's 4 defeats out of the first 6. They've conceded 3+ goals in 3 straight games for the first time since Dave Sexton was manager. We can talk about beer and Oktoberfest all night, and I'm sure we'd much rather do that, but
Laurie's got more questions, I'm afraid.
I just wanted to ask him how much he paid for it, because if his mind gets blown at how much, you know, these cocktails, you know, that I sometimes drink are, we paid €15 for this stein last night.
Right, right. I'll tell this story very quickly. I met a lad for breakfast. Breakfast here is white Bavarian sausages. So I'm on a table of 4 people, you know them, and the owner of the restaurant comes up to us and said, "Do you mind if a local newspaper takes pictures of you?" So I'm thinking he thinks like you're visiting English, but it's nothing to do with football, and I'll give you free beer and some free food, right? So he brings over these 4 pints of froth. Clearly he's not going to charge, and I had to work today. I couldn't drink today. I had to go on the telly like Ian. I couldn't go on the telly with 3 steins down my neck, could I?
So you're complaining about free beer.
So he said. So then this photographer comes over, and I'm thinking, shall I just tell him I'm a journalist? This is for the local Munich paper. So they're like, "What's your name?" I'm like, "Andrew." That's all I said. I don't want that picture to come up anywhere at all of me sat with a big empty stein of froth.
Just regaling Munich tales. How do United sort this out, Laurie?
Well, I mean, that's one of the questions that I asked Ten Hag afterwards in the press conference, because he was at pains, I would say, to accept that Onana had made a critical mistake, but also point out that Leroy Sané was allowed too much freedom to come inside and have the shot in the first place. So he's saying that that is an issue of determination from his players, commitment, you know, which is quite stark criticism, really. It's basically, you know, they didn't run enough, and then my follow-up question was about the fact that, well, these goals seem to be happening again. You know, you had Danny Welbeck in all the space in the world in United's box for Brighton, Serge Gnabry, you know, all the space in like, you know, the most dangerous shooting positions you can imagine. And how has he got this space? It's not like he's done some incredible bursting run to get there either. It's or really smart, cute moves. It's kind of they're just in there and people are switching off. So Ten Hag, that's what he's getting at. Now, is that, you know, does he need to pick different players? Does he need to drill that into them in a better way? Or is it, as he's sort of suggesting, mentality and kind of players switching off or not having the physicality to go and do these runs?
The thing is, Andy, as well, I think we reflected on it a little bit on the last podcast. It just feels like things are not going for Manchester United at the moment. I mean, the penalty incident, for example, we've had the marginal VAR calls in the last couple of games as well. But when things are going well, you're not relying on these moments, are you? I mean, Erik ten Hag said after the game that they've just faced really good opposition. They've faced the Tottenham team and an Arsenal team at home that have started the season really well, a Brighton side and a Bayern side tonight, again, who are at their top level. But it's just not good enough, is it? Simple as, really.
It's not good enough, and we can't pretend that it is good enough. OK, let's take the quality opposition line. Look at who United play next. Burnley, Palace, Galatasaray, Brentford with four of those games at home. That is more forgiving than the games that we've just been through. But Wolves battered United at Old Trafford. So I'm only taking that line a little bit. I thought tactically in the first 27 minutes, Manchester United did very well to stop Bayern Munich getting the ball centrally to Harry Kane. But look where that first goal came. It came right through the middle. The second goal came when the player ran past Casemiro, ran past Lisandro Martinez. Casemiro was really poor tonight. I'm sorry, he was really, really poor, and I don't know why he's really
worse
poor.
Than he's been.
I thought he had a stinker tonight. Right. I thought he had a really. At 75 minutes, I saw him shaking his head, and I thought.
I saw that.
Did you?
And then he went and scored two goals.
He did.
He was shaking his head. It seemed to me at the situation. Here we are again, 3-1 down, drifting through a game. At least he sort of then did something about it. But I agree, the overall performance, bizarrely for somebody who scored two goals, was not good.
Drift is the right word, isn't it, really, for all of them, to be fair. You know, it felt so passive that second half, really.
Marcus Rashford is still, when he's on the ball, you know he's fast. I thought he had the beating of the fullback tonight, but just wasn't quite happening for him. And world-class players, and he has the stature of a world-class player, you've got to pull in a performance like some of them Bayern Munich players did tonight, and that's what led to the results. The howler for the
we need
first
to talk
goal,
about Onana, definitely.
Well, it was an absolute howler. And soon as Bayern went ahead, you could see that United's confidence dropped. And I spoke to a couple of the players afterwards, just sort of off the record, you know, as they came through. And one of them just said to me, you're human. When you concede like that, your natural reaction is not to celebrate, it's to think, oh no. And to concede another a couple of minutes later, you're human. And which teams come from 2-0 down away at Bayern Munich to win? It was so improbable. United needed to score at the start of the second half and did do, but I never felt at any point, once that first goal had gone in following that howler, and as Loris said, Onana did make 6 out of 10 saves in the second half, but they were all saves that a world class goalkeeper should be making.
Yeah, absolutely.
That howler is his markdown for tonight, and someone shouting Bayern now. Nice one, mate. 26th of May 1999.
The stadium is empty apart from
Solskjaer.
A group of people just behind us that seem to be shouting Bayern.
Did you shout Solskjaer at them, Andy?
That's all he's got.
We'll come on to that later, absolutely. Andy, just on Onana, Laurie, just as a final point for this section, really. He's come out after the game, he's done the interview, credit to him, he's taken responsibility for the result. And he said as well, I have a lot to prove because, to be honest, my start at Manchester United is not so good. I mean, I read the stat out before that they'd conceded 14 goals in Onana's first 6 matches. But how much of that is his fault? How culpable do you think he is for this start that they've made? How much criticism does he deserve?
I think that mistake is so bad that you just have to accept there's going to be major criticism. I mean, David De Gea got it, you know, last season when he made those kind of mistakes. I think it reminded me of the West Ham one.
Will the criticism be just about this mistake, though? Because it doesn't feel like it so far. It feels like it's been building to this point almost.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably just been because they haven't seen a stunning save, and also then added to that, there hasn't been those moments where you've seen, wow, this is why he's playing for United, you know, on the ball, progressive, the passing. I mean, there was one pass actually out to the wing in the
there
first
was,
half.
From there.
Beautiful. Yeah, was it to Rashford?
To Rashford, and he ran onto it.
Yeah, and then he beat the fullback, was that it maybe?
Yeah.
And so there was moments, the flickers of it, but we haven't seen that transformative quality that I think we expected from him. You know, that being said, at least he's coming out. I mean, he wasn't asked to do the interviews. He'd said, I want to do these interviews, which I think is a point to make. And that shows at least, and then what he's saying as well in the interviews is, I know I need to get better. So at least that shows someone that isn't, you know, he's not blind to the issues here. And hopefully that is, it's easy to talk, it's harder to actually do the actions on the pitch, but at least he's got the right mindset, I think, to make those improvements.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Well, Andy, it's been quite a day for you. My first message received this morning at 5:24 was from your good self, reflecting on seeing a mutual friend of ours at an airport. But far more pertinent was that at that point, on The Athletic, there was an exclusive interview with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer dropping. He talked about Ronaldo, he talked about the Glazers, he talked about, in the end, his failed reign at Manchester United as well. It was quite a get. What have you made of all the reaction to it, and how do you reflect on the interview itself as well?
Yeah, it's been quite a day. I got up at 3 o'clock this morning and a couple of people just said to me, you look tired. I am tired. It's now 12:30 at night. I've been up since 3 this morning. It wasn't just that. I was going heavy writing the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer interview up. I was working till 1:30 in the morning on it the night before last. My feeling now, the day after it's come out, is that I'm pleased that I did the interview. I thought he was good. I thought I had a good hour's chat with him, and I felt he was as honest as someone in his position can be. Covered loads of different areas. You know, maybe it's better to what you two think, because I've written the thing, you know, and if you think it's a pile of crap, then just say it. I'm not bothered.
Well, I wouldn't have asked the majority of the questions, to be honest, but I mean, that's fine. That's up to you. Sure.
I was pleased that he did it, because I've been on at him for a couple of years to do this, and there's been a couple of times when we've been within a day of doing it, and for various reasons it hasn't happened, and I've respected the fact that he's wanted privacy. I genuinely respect the fact that he wants to spend time with his family, because when he's in the job, he just said he can't. And there's plenty of football managers who didn't see the children grow up. And Ollie's made a point of not only seeing them grow up, but coaching each of his children's football teams.
Interesting aspect, that. Interview.
Jim McLean, the famous Dundee United manager, great regrets. Didn't see my kids grow up, you know, and Ollie ain't going to do that. Now, he's turned down two offers from Saudi Arabia. Big clubs. Big clubs. Huge amounts of money. So money's not his god. And he wants to manage again. So he was watching Champions League tonight. He's back on the roll. I think he likes the idea of coming to Germany or Spain or France, Portugal, somewhere where he can learn a new language. He's going to see David Beckham and Wayne Rooney in a couple of weeks in America. And I just thought it would be a great shame if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer didn't coach again. Because United fans have got a lot of affection, not just because he was a good goal scorer, but some of his moments as a player. And when we spoke about some of them moments, and he's talking about being in the dressing room, and I'm going to pick a positive out here, because the way the news cycle works, they've picked negatives out of this Ollie interview, right?
Because, yeah, of course.
Because Manchester United feels very negative at the moment.
I'm going to ask you about them in a moment. But yeah, go on.
It's what did you think of Ronaldo? It's negative, it's negative, it's negative, it's negative. I tell you what I love, him saying that in the dressing room after Paris, just looking round, and you've got lads who can't speak English, players singing Ollie's at the wheel, holding pizza boxes in the air, stood on the massage table. It's properly bouncing. And this ain't winning the European Cup, but we'll cling on to these small mercies. And he starts filming his players. It's the only time he's ever done that. And we spoke about some of the good moments, you know. I said to him, you know, just tell us how he beat Brighton again, because it seems we've forgotten. He's like, I ain't going there. You know, he didn't want to get, you know, he really wants Erik ten Hag to succeed.
Well, I was going to say, one of the criticisms has been the timing of it. You know, him speaking now, and I know from speaking to you, but I think you should probably state this explicitly, it's not about piling on pressure on Ten Hag at all, is it? You know?
No, absolutely not. No. Ollie started a new job tonight in the Champions League, all right? So this was going to become public. So he only found out that was happening on Saturday, so there's absolutely nothing to do with the timing at all. He couldn't even watch Manchester United tonight because he'd started a new job.
I couldn't for large parts of the second half.
I know. So no, I mean, I think the reaction's been pretty positive. I saw a couple of wild conspiracy theories, yeah. And you just think that's just what the internet does. But I think most people were sensible, took it at face value. Professionally, I spoke to a lot of the other journalists about it, and you know, they had a similar view as well. So, as a journalist, you're thinking, hopefully, job well done. You know, a lot of people read it inside Manchester United, and well, they've read it. You know, they don't have to agree with it. It's pretty senior people said, I'm glad he's spoken. And he's entitled to speak, and I'm glad that he spoke.
Yeah, I'm glad he spoke to you as well, because it means we get to talk about it on the podcast. I mean, Laurie, obviously Andy said before that some of the headlines that have been picked out of it are about saying that the signing of Cristiano Ronaldo turned out wrong, saying that some of his players thought that they were better. So, yeah, some of his players thought they were better than they actually were. What stood out to you from what Solskjaer had to say?
None of it.
Do you mean I've read it?
Yeah.
I read it very, very early this morning.
No, you have read it, because I saw your glowing message to Mr. Mitten on the WhatsApp group.
I was the first one to come in, wasn't I, with it? Yeah.
I felt compelled afterwards to say something.
I did not one, but two emojis. I did a clappy hand emoji and the arms up in the air emoji. I was so pleased with it. And I think it's actually just worth reflecting. I mean, Andy gives me props all the time for, you know, stuff that I've done. And I just think I'm sort of full of admiration for the fact that you've got this relationship for years, you know. And I know, and it's interesting, you did another piece as well where you sort of talked about it and how you didn't necessarily have that close relationship when he was a player, but obviously just cultivated it. And you know, he's got that trust with you, so that, and it does take, you have to keep knocking at that door rather than it just being, you know, given to you on a plate. And also the kind of questions you ask and the way I thought was really interesting. I just thought his overall impression of United, and as Andy says, he probably can't say the full truth of what he wants to say, even now, I don't think, but...
Well, he was quite reserved on the Glazers, for example, wasn't he? He's probably been more outspoken about them in the past.
Yeah, when he was a player, I suppose. And I think he gave enough indication of what it's like to manage Manchester United and just the difficulties, the constraints that you have. And you know, I know Erik ten Hag has been able to spend a lot of money, but there's also still those kind of constraints that happen in terms of the transfers and the kind of the speed of regeneration that you'd like to have as a Manchester United manager. So I thought that was really interesting aspect to it, but just generally the get, and also you know the kind of in-depth stuff, it was it wasn't just the superficial stuff. I mean, obviously the Ronaldo thing was a big headline just because it was the first time he said that, you know, outright. But even like a little bit like Sancho, he prefers to play on the left. That
yeah,
was just like a bit of a throwaway line, but probably that's quite pertinent.
I said that on this pod before, you know, because I've heard it before. I think Gareth Southgate knew that as well. So why buy him? Mm. You know, the understanding was that he would play on the right, but he preferred to play on the left. So it's a bit,
I think,
middle.
It was quite telling in the way that Solskjaer told it, Andy, as well. I mean, he's talking about an exhaustive search and a right winger being highlighted by the Manchester United recruitment staff in Jadon Sancho, who actually, when you speak to him, prefers to play on the left-hand side. I mean, I thought that was quite a pointed criticism, actually, when you take that in at full value.
And yet he also said, no, I wanted Sancho. It was me. I was manager. And
yeah.
I think if he wouldn't have held his hands up, he would have looked ridiculous. But he said, I should have started Nemanja Matic in the final, in Gdansk, for example.
Well, that was another thing that was fascinating. He'd not watched that Villarreal game back. He'd not watched his final
match.
So
he lied to me then, didn't he?
Back. He'd not
he lied to me 6 months
Liverpool
ago because he told me he watched all of them.
apart from those, yeah, and the Spurs one at home as well, wasn't it? When United had lost heavily
as
well.
And he knew he'd lost the
but
job
isn't that
at Watford.
Like the biggest lessons? But isn't that like, do you not watch those to like truly understand what went wrong? I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about it too much.
He just said, I just can't do it. I don't want to punish myself that much. The Watford game, I thought that was interesting. He knew he lost the fans at Watford, which
that
he
was,
clearly
that was
had.
The half-time talk was interesting. Yeah,
he knew he'd lost the job. No one had told him. And I just got this image of him going back to an empty house with his wife had just gone back to Norway and he just missed the plane because he'd just been sacked. And then I think there's a real human element to him. I think he's a genuinely good person and his life has been a success, but he also knows that football is a results business. And also that Villa game, you know, when the penalty was missed, I felt at the time, oof. But when you look back, it was the first defeat of the season. So why did we feel like that? United had been top of the league a week before.
I was surprised at that run again, because I agree with you. I was like, by the time he got sacked, it was like it was inevitability. But yeah, when you say that was the first loss. I think it was because they'd finished second and it was right, these are the guys that are going to challenge us for the title.
Oh, it was because of the penalty, and it was because Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo looked like they were arguing together, and it was at the Stretford end.
They were arguing,
the minute,
by the way.
And Emi Martinez had danced around and done all these things about, I want you to take it, Bruno, not you, Ronaldo. And it was all that as well.
Yeah, it was. And they were arguing, by the way.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was a mess. And then that Everton draw, that's when I felt the fans had lost Ollie, the moderates, as I used the term at the time. Yeah. I think most people would have loved it to work out for him. I felt he feels a bit stung by this narrative about him that he's somehow clueless tactically. So I got him to talk in depth about tactics, and he did. And I know that a lot of coaches, because I'd spoke to them, and they've got no idea who I was or who I supported. I just, Unai Emery, for example, had told me about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's tactics, and I hope he gets a decent job again. I hope he comes in the Stretford end to watch a game with his two boys, and he will do.
His name got sung tonight, didn't it? Of course, you know.
Yeah.
Straight out the gate.
Yeah,
he
did.
Ball in the German's net.
Yeah, he did.
And that's the high point for the fans, maybe tonight.
Maybe He really hopes that Erik ten Hag makes Manchester United successful again.
Okay, well, if you want to read more about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his first interview since leaving Manchester United with Andy Mitten, of course, it's on The Athletic. Thoughts on who Manchester United missed out on in the transfer market, which again, we're extremely interested in. And his full thoughts as well, of course, on the Glazer ownership as well. If you're not a subscriber to The Athletic and you want to read that article and all the great stuff on Manchester United, you can sign up now for £1 a month or $1 a month for the first 12 months. Just go to theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod. Right, here we go then. On to Burnley. Benny and Hots all round and 3 points for Manchester United to end this miserable run. What do you reckon, Laurie?
I mean,
well, that was
yeah,
not the
sorry.
Word
I keep making
all the noise.
Weird noises, don't I, when you've asked me a very pertinent question.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd like... Last five, come on, put it in. We can do
well,
it.
I mean, they've shown they can score goals. even against, you know, a Bayern Munich team that I think are the second favourites to win the Champions League. Although
Rasmus Højlund's got his first Manchester United goal.
A really good finish that as well, and it reminded me of the one that he scored against Brighton where he's kind of...
Quite a big deflection.
I know, but yeah, I think that actually gives me more confidence because, you know, all good strikers, you know, just get the shots away and they don't care how it goes in.
Yeah.
But he managed to wriggle himself into shooting opportunity, which is what he did against Brighton as well. So yeah, at least I think I could well see him score at Turf Moor again to keep his run going. His run of one. I'm sort of counting his Brighton one out.
It's what we're clinging on to. Goal scoring runs of one. Yeah. Casemiro scored more than him tonight, but we're not talking about his run.
But I mean, Burnley under Vincent Kompany, they're obviously a good, you know, progressive team. I mean, the one thing is that they've defended quite high, haven't they? No, you're going to come on. You give us the tactics here because you've seen them more than me. But they defend quite high, and Rashford.
They have done.
They dropped.
But. Yeah, Nottingham Forest not so high. Interviewed Jordan Beyer as well this afternoon, one of the centre backs. And the game against Forest again, I was there on Monday actually. Yeah, they brought Charlie Taylor into the team and Josh Brownhill as well. They'd named extremely young sides.
Are you a closet Burnley fan?
Monday. No, mate. I get paid to cover matches Manchester United sometimes. Similar to yourself.
I know you go on the telly and do all that, but what was the last Burnley game you missed?
The one where they got battered by Tottenham. The next one I'll miss is on Saturday as well, unfortunately, because I'm going to be at Manchester City. But
oh, he's done me there,
yeah,
already.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see Højlund's goal scoring run continue.
But in terms of that, they haven't started well. There's no question about that. I mean, they've been given a lot of compliments because last season was so good, but it's been a huge transition from last season to this season for them. The one thing that Manchester United fans will notice who go to Turf Moor this weekend, or even people who watch the game, this isn't Burnley. I don't know what they've done with Burnley, but this isn't Burnley. I did the opening game of the season, there you go, more fuel to the fire, Andy, against City. And even the whole feel of Turf Moor, I was interviewing American sporting superstars who are investors in the club, you know, pre-game, that the old like wooden signs have been replaced with LEDs, the seats are extra padded now in the director's box. It just doesn't feel like Burnley. The team is unrecognisable from the side who were in the Premier League last time. And as I say, they brought in Charlie Taylor and Josh Brownhill to the side against Nottingham Forest, which just sort of firmed them up a little bit. And you know, they probably had more Premier League know-how between them than the rest of the side. So perhaps it's not going to be as easy as Tottenham found it, as Aston Villa found it, as Manchester City found it. But United need to win. Simple as.
I think United will win. But I'm just going to keep that between us. And if you want a public prediction, I'm going to say we're going to lose 3-1. I'm going to try a bit of reverse psychology. You've told me loads about Burnley this season. I know you went away with them pre-season. you didn't miss a game pre-season.
Didn't have to travel.
I feel like I know a lot about them.
To be fair.
I'm confident.
Yeah. Well, they've got revenge on the mind, aren't they, United, after getting beat 3-0 by Burnley in the behind the closed doors friendly at Carrington.
Yeah.
And I've got a little tidbit for you there. The Burnley players absolutely loved the new chef Omar at United, so they got to eat after doing this game, and apparently, you know, the cuisine on offer was genuinely some of the best stuff they've ever eaten. So
that's the one thing that's not changed at Burnley. They still get fed meat pies after the game, so no wonder they enjoyed it.
But the players do.
No, I'm messing, obviously they don't. it is a really important game this now, though, Andy, isn't it? Joking aside, you know, this is the point where it definitely has to change. You can forgive them maybe a little bit not getting a victory at Bayern Munich tonight, but Burnley is a totally different prospect, isn't it? And, you know, you look at the league table, you don't want Burnley to go above United either, do you, or even threaten it? So we need to win.
No. A defeat against Burnley and the mood drops another 20%, and you're starting to talk serious. You know, badges cracking right open on the back of newspapers, and you can lose in Bayern Munich, but to lose there, and United have lost there. I've seen United lose there a couple of times. I'm not going to say disaster because it's only a game of football near the start of the season, but it would be unpalatable.
Laurie, after the last pod, there was a few people commenting on the Athletic app, also on social media as well, about the idea that Erik ten Hag might be under pressure. Now, I don't think we were quite reflecting on that exact point. We were asking questions of him, of course, you know, that's normal, but I don't think we were questioning his future. That said, these next few games, Andy read them out before, they really do need to be a turning point for him, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think the credit in the bank is there, clearly, from last season winning a trophy and the Champions League situation, and also how much authority and power the club have given him, you know, in various aspects of the club. That's what he wants, and I think they have, whilst perhaps not supported him in certain ways, in the round, I think they've also, you know, given him a lot of backing in terms of allowing him to make decisions about, you know, as we've touched on earlier, Cristiano Ronaldo and Jadon Sancho is the current one at the moment. So yeah, we're not at that stage yet, but clearly, you know, if they keep losing matches, if they keep conceding goals like they are, then those questions will you know, become louder. It was actually funny today because we went to the youth game before. Yeah. So after Andy had had his frothy pint, me and Andy went to the UEFA youth game against Bayern Munich, and that's at their academy, Bayern Campus, which is a beautiful site where they've got a stadium that's kind of purpose built. I think it's for the women's team predominantly, but the academy, it's perfect for them because you can overlook it, and it's, you know, it's got a good atmosphere. It's right by the Allianz Arena, so that, you know, it's kind of, God, I'd love United to have something like that.
Yeah.
And we bumped into another former Manchester United manager in Ralf Rangnick.
Yeah.
So he was there watching. So we had a little chinwag with him, and we thought, Andy, could you be getting two former Man United managers in the same day?
Imagine
that. Heart surgery business.
And then obviously,
what did you mean? Is this what you meant?
well, I'd love to know his true thoughts on what's going on and how much you can really change things. I mean, Ten Hag's talking about standards, isn't he? That's his big thing, and I think that's sort of what Ralf Rangnick was getting at. And he never had the chance. He was interim manager, and he certainly had failings himself. You know, that we've written about. But then there was obviously some sharp wit who suggested that, well, you know, we might not be too far away from having another former manager, and that is very much tongue in cheek. But yeah, I mean, you know, Burnley, but they have to beat Burnley. You know, if they don't beat Burnley, then that, those kind of, you know, just that disquiet perhaps gets a little bit louder.
Andy, final point.
Beat Burnley. Do the next podcast with something to smile about for once. It's starting to drag in it. You know, the three straight defeats, and I think United need a lift, and that might come from a win, it might come from a standout performance, it might come from great goals, but Manchester United really do need a lift at the moment.
Yeah, I think we can all agree with that. Andy, Laurie, I'll let you go and get the last metro.
See if you can get Andy a lift home. Yeah,
see if you can grab a Stein.
Yeah, the last metro.
It's not so frothy.
I've got a bed, mate. I'm whacked.
Yeah, you've been yawning the way through this. I thought it was me and Laurie chatting, but it's obviously the early get up. But
are you going out?
No, I'm writing my piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you both for your company. Thank you for cuddling up in the. Are you in the? I don't even think we established this. Are you actually in?
Oh, we're still in the press.
Oh, yeah. Box? I mean, look at this stadium, 75,000 seater.
Wow.
Really is.
Wow. So we're looking over an empty Allianz Arena, a big Bayern Munich badge is there, a nice green pitch, and we'll be glad to see the back of that place, I'm sure, considering Manchester United suffered that third straight defeat there tonight. We're going to say goodbye, so Alvida Zane, Laurie and Andy, safe journey home. Thank you for joining us. I've just got a chance now as well to tell you that there is a piece on The Athletic from Adam Crafton, saying that Manchester United's strategic review is still ongoing, according to Chief Executive Richard Arnold. He's apparently told club staff that they need to hang tight and be resilient. I think that pretty much is Manchester United's motto at the moment. But thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next one, whatever happens at Burnley. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. $5. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.